I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's edition of Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today here on the front porch. We pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
We do pray that hope will have its way with you. And as we say often on Front Porch Talks, hope has a name. The name is Jesus Christ. And we pray that Jesus Christ will have his way in your life. As we begin the recording today of Front Porch Talks broadcast, we are looking toward Thanksgiving, a very sacred holiday on our calendar. And Grace and I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. And then I have a beautiful story that I want to read at the conclusion. It's one of my favorite stories of all time, and it has to do with Thanksgiving. It's a story I used to read every Thanksgiving when our children were little and we had nephews and our niece was coming to our home, and I would gather them often around the chair in the living room and I would read this story to them, and it's one of my favorites. So I anticipate reading that on the broadcast today. But before we go to the story, let's talk about Thanksgiving itself. When you look at the word, you just sort of spell it out, T-H-A-N-K-S-G-I-V-I-N-G, Thanksgiving. 12 letters, and they form a very powerful idea, the idea of Thanksgiving. My invitation this year is that as the Thanksgiving holy day or holiday approaches, that we would not just focus on the first 6 letters, thanks. Surely we need to give thanks, but let us remember that only as we focus on all 12 letters will we experience a whole holy day. We must give thanks, and we must be given. Thanks, given. In our local church, every November, we focus on what I call the Lordship season. Some people call it stewardship, and the idea is that we would bring our people to the challenge of making sure they are offering to God their time, their talent, their treasures, and their touch. The idea is because we have been given thanks, that ignites within our lives given, thanks given. It's the idea of not only receiving from God, but giving to God as well our very best. Thanksgiving. And so we want to encourage you to look at the word for the whole 12 letters, and yes, to be thankful, to give thanks this Thanksgiving season, but to also consider that the Thanksgiving season opens up the door to the giving season, which is Christmas. We call it Advent. And this is when God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so that surely should ignite within our hearts, our minds, our souls, and even our strength, the idea that because we have so much to give thanks for, that we must be given to also prove the quality of our thanks. So we want to be focused on all 12 letters. In the New Testament, we see our Lord giving thanks to his Father, and then given his disciples the bread representing his body and was about to be broken, and the cup representing his blood that would be shed for the whole world. Now you talk about real thanksgiving. Jesus is holding the bread in his hand. They're at the Last Supper and he breaks it, giving thanks. And then he will go beyond that prayer of thanks and he will be found giving his life for us. This, my friends, is truly a Thanksgiving meal. When we share in the elements of Holy Communion, this beautiful supper analogy that Jesus left for us, so we would always remember to be given thanks and also to be given. So, Grayson, based on what I've said so far, the idea of thanks and given, and maybe even the idea of Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, what thoughts would you like to expand on as we enter this holy season of the year?
Well, Dad, first of all, like you said, it's kind of a two-part thing. First, we want to give thanks. We want to give thanks to God for all that He's done for us, all that He's blessed us with. Give Him thanks for family and friends and all the other things that we have to give thanks for. But we also want to make sure that we're giving. Not only have we received much, but we also want to give back. We want to give in His name, give to those that are less fortunate than us, and also give back to God as well for all that He's done for us.
And when you think back on some of the Thanksgiving celebrations of your life, some 29 years or so, what kind of feelings come to your mind and to your heart as the Thanksgiving season approaches?
Well, certainly you can think about all the things that you normally think about Thanksgiving, the food and everything, but just getting together with family and sharing quality time with family and going around the table and everybody saying something that they're thankful for, I think that in particular is a great tradition.
Exactly. And don't you think about the family being together? Maybe even sometimes close friends joining in. But the idea of relationships, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mentioned that family getting together was important and that I remember that. And we still do that. We'll do that on this Thanksgiving, get together with family. So certainly that time is something that we have to be thankful for, because time is something that goes by quickly in this life and we shouldn't take it for granted. So any time we get to spend with family is something we should be thankful for and remember.
Exactly. How very true those words are. Grayson, I want to go on now and talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving. The word, the whole 12 letters coming together, God wants us to give thanks, and He certainly is worthy of thanks. And we should be found given to Him our very best. And that relationship that I was talking about, the relationships that we cherish around the holy days or the holidays, such as Thanksgiving, relationships with our loved ones. Truly, Jesus gave us this meal called the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, because it too is about relationships. When Jesus instituted this beautiful symbolic supper, He had the people around Him that were nearest to Him. And when He told them, "This is my body, take it and eat it, and when you do, do it in love for me." And then He said, "Here is the cup, it represents my blood, take it and drink it, and when you do, drink it in love for me." The idea was that He was opening their hearts to give thanks for what He was about to perform, and then also to later be found given their lives for the cause of Christ. And so this is the idea that I have with Thanksgiving. I want to share also some scriptures that come to mind, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, 24, 25. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation of the Holy Word. Listen closely to these words. The Apostle Paul wrote these reflecting back on that Thanksgiving supper, that Lord's Supper, that Holy Communion. And it's really a beautiful reflection that the Apostle Paul gives to us. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24, 25. "On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" So there is the scriptural foundation for the things I've been talking about when Jesus gave to us this beautiful supper, so that whenever we would share in the elements of the bread or the cup, we would always remember and be thankful. But we wouldn't just stay there. We would be so thankful that it would motivate our lives to be given to others in some symbolism of how Christ gave to us. There's no way we can match the gift that He has given to us, of the gift of salvation. But we can certainly be so thankful, give thanks in such a way that we can be giving people directions to meet in Jesus personally. pointing, in fact, to Jesus Christ. Grayson, what would you like to say in relationship to some of these thoughts?
Well, Dad, first and foremost, I would hope that our actions as Christians, the way we live our lives, would make people want to know what's different about us, and we can tell them that we have a lot to be thankful for because Jesus is our Lord and Savior and that He lives in our lives, and we can, you know, tell them what that's about, and maybe they'll ask how they can ask Him into their life and say that, you know, they can see the hope and see the joy and see the thankfulness through our actions and through the way we live our lives, and they will want that for themselves. So maybe that would open up a conversation where we could show Christ or share Christ with those who don't know Him, those who are in our everyday lives. And there might be people who we know don't know Christ or have strayed from Christ, who we might even pray for the Lord to give us opportunities to share what Christ has done for us to those people.
Surely good thoughts, Grayson, and definitely there's no better way to invite others to Christ than to entice them to Him by living a life that reflects Him. And I think when we give thanks and when we are found given thanksgiving, certainly that is an enticement, yes, even an invitation to others to come to know Christ in relationship. You know, I love Holy Communion. One of the great, great privileges and responsibilities of being a local pastor at the church I pastor, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, and now in my 23rd year at my only church to pastor, I love to serve Holy Communion. And through the years, the Lord has given me new ways to approach the table, the Lord's Supper table. And of recent times, the Lord has opened up the idea that the table is a place where Jesus Himself invites people to come into relationship with Him. You know, in our custom, in the church I pastor at least, and in many churches across our nation, we usually invite people to Christ by coming to the front of the church. Some will have people kneel at an altar, and I'm all for that. I'm for the mourner's bench, the altar. Some will have people come to a side room and have prayer with them. We have that also. We have a room that's called the Well, W-E-L-L, and it's a place where people are thirsty can come and find living water by praying and receiving Christ in a right relationship. So I'm for all of those ways, but my favorite way to invite people to Christ is around the communion table. It's to say, this is the Lord's Supper table. And just like He invited His disciples that night to take the bread and take the cup, He was asking them a question. In the Hebrew custom, they understood what this was all about, because as He passed the bread and passed the cup, He was actually inviting them to be His bride in the spiritual sense. Because in the Hebrew custom, whenever there's an engagement, like between a man and woman for marriage, there will be the sharing of elements, the cup and bread, so to speak. And so that evening when Jesus offered the bread and the cup to His disciples, He was inviting them to be His fully devoted disciples. Yes, to actually be the bride of Christ, and He would be the bridegroom. And so that was a very powerful moment. And what I have come to realize is when I offer communion, especially on Sunday mornings, but whenever, it is an invitation for people to come four ways to the table. I invite them on behalf of Christ to come first and remember, you know, what He has done. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Me. You can come in remembrance, and you should, and we should. We can come in recommitment. In other words, maybe we've been a little lukewarm, and we want to renew our first love, that passion, when we first came to Christ. So it can be recommitment. It can also be a place of repentance. And what I have learned is that the table, the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper is not our table. It's not our supper, it's His. And we just oversee it. And we invite people to come, even those who would turn from sin, repent, turn from sin and turn to Him, and take the cup in their hand and the bread in their hand and to receive, as they ask forgiveness of sins, receive Christ in right relationship. And finally, the fourth way that I invite people on behalf of Christ to his table is that they come to be reclaimed. Maybe there was a time they belonged to Christ, but they walked away from that relationship, went back into darkness, but they can come home and there is a place at the family table, yes, around the supper table of salvation, for them to come and to be rejoined to the family of God. Let me repeat that again, just in case it's warm in your heart as it is mine. We invite people to the table, the communion table, the Lord's Supper, to come in remembrance, to come in recommitment, to come in repentance, and to come to be reclaimed. And this is one of my most wonderful devotions as a local pastor, is to say, the elements are ready, the table is set, and Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And friends, I want you to know that rest is another word for hope. And hope has a name, it's Jesus Christ. I said that earlier in the broadcast, but rest also has a name, and it is Jesus Christ as well. He wants to be our hope, he wants to be our rest. He also wants to be our life. There's a name for life, it is Jesus Christ. And when I say to people, sometimes with a smile on my face, don't you want to get a life? Wouldn't you like to have a life? I'm saying, wouldn't you like to have Jesus? He's not interested in being first place in our lives. He's not interested in being the center of our lives. He's not interested in being a part of our lives. Jesus is interested in being our life. He wants to be life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so when he invites us to his table to come and to take the cup and to take the bread, we should come in sincerity, searching our hearts, making sure that we're coming not afraid. We don't need to come afraid if we are coming with our hearts tender towards the Lord. But we should make sure we're not just coming out of some performance. It really needs to be because we want right relationship with Jesus Christ. And this, my friends, is the idea of thanksgiving. Grayson, would you like to add anything to that before I read the story?
Yes, Dad. And the thing about him becoming our life is we have to give him permission, so to speak, to become our life. We have to lay our lives down and say, Lord, take control of our lives. Give us life. We're nothing without you. So he wants to give us life, but we have to accept his offer of life. We have to accept his offer to become everything to us. And then not only will we have life in this life, but we will have life for eternity, forever, with him, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
And that, my friends, is enough to give thanks about. And it's enough to ignite giving in our own lives to others for the glory of God, and to point people especially to the cross of Jesus Christ. When I look at the cross, I see the letter T. You know, the cross is shaped like the letter T, the letter of the alphabet. And whenever I see the cross in my mind, I give thanks, and I think of thanksgiving. T is thanksgiving. The cross is the place where we give thanks, and we leave the cross, and we start giving for the glory of God. This is the story I want to read now. It's titled, Are You Ready for the King's Thanksgiving? Are you ready? Are you ready? Am I ready? Is Grayson ready for the King's Thanksgiving? It's a heartwarming story, and I think it will be worth your time. Every child in the village was very much excited on account of the news that had come down from the castle on the hill. Because it had been such a rich harvest, the fields yellow with grain and the orchards crimson with fruit, the king was going to keep a Thanksgiving day. He was going to ask some child from the village to come up the hill to the castle and eat supper with the prince and princess. It was rumored, too, that this child would be given good gifts by the king, but it must be a very special kind of child indeed. They all knew this. Then the village children remembered everything that had been told them by their mothers and their grandmothers and their great-grandmothers about the castle kitchen. Scores of cooks and scullery boys were kept busy there night and day. The fires always glowed to roast the rich fowls that turned on the spits. The cake bowls and the soup pots were never empty. Spices and herbs from far countries, strawberries when the ground was covered with snow, ices of all the rainbow colors, and cream so thick that a knife could cut it. All these were to be found in the king's kitchen. There were dishes of gold and silver upon which to serve the fine foods, and a hothouse of rare flowers with which to deck the table, and linen as fine as a cobweb, and as beautiful in pattern as snowflakes to cover it. Oh, a Thanksgiving day in the castle would be very wonderful indeed, the children thought, and each hoped that he or she would be chosen to go. The day before this day of Thanksgiving, the messenger of the village came down from the castle and went from door to door of the homes in the village. He went first to the house of the burgomaster, the mayor. It was a very pretentious house with tall pillars in front, and it stood on a wide street. It seemed likely that the burgomaster's child might be chosen to go with a messenger to the castle for the Thanksgiving. She was dressed in silk and her hair was curled, and the burgomaster had packed a great hamper with sweets as an offering for the king. "Are you ready to keep the feast, as the king would like you to?" asked the messenger. "Oh, yes," said the burgomaster's child. "I have on my best dress, and here are plenty of sweets to eat. Will you take me?" But the messenger shook his head, for the child was not ready. Then the king's messenger went on until he came to the house where the captain of the guards lived. The captain's little boy was quite sure that he would be chosen to go with the messenger to the castle for the Thanksgiving. He wore a uniform with silver braid and buttons like that which the guards wore. A sword hung at his side, and he wore a soldier's cap. He held the cap in his hand so that he could put it on quickly. "Are you ready to keep the Thanksgiving day as the king would like you to?" asked the messenger. "Oh, yes," said the child of the captain of the guards. "I have my sword here, and I can fight anyone who crosses our path on the way to the castle. Will you take me?" But the messenger went on again, and he came to the baker's shop. The baker's boy stood at the door dressed in his best white suit, holding an empty basket on his arm. He was quite sure that he would be chosen to go to the palace. For his father's bake shop was an important place in the village. They measured their flour carefully and weighed the loaves so that they might receive the utmost penny for each. They very seldom had any crumbs left for the poor, but they were selling a great deal of bread every day. "Are you ready to keep the Thanksgiving day as the king would like you to?" the messenger asked of the baker's boy. "Oh, yes," said the boy. "I have this basket to gather up whatever remains of the king's feast and bring it home with me. The king would not want anything wasted. Will you take me?" But the messenger shook his head a third time. The boy was not ready. Then he did not know which way to go, and he began to think that he would not be able to find any guests for the king's feast. As he waited, he saw two children, a girl and a boy, coming toward him. They were poor children, and one was leading the other, for he was crippled. The messenger looked at them. The little girl had eyes like stars, and her hair, blowing in the November wind, was like a cloud made golden by the sunset. She held her head so high and smiled so bravely that no one would have noticed her old dress and the holes in her coat. The messenger stood in the road in front of her and spoke to her. "Are you ready to keep the Thanksgiving day as the king would like you to?" he asked. The little girl looked up in the messenger's face in surprise. "No, I am not ready," she said. "But this crippled child is ready. I am bringing him because he is needy, and he is hungry. Will you please take him to the king's Thanksgiving Day feast?" she asked. "Yes," said the messenger, "and you too. There is room at the king's table for both of you." What a beautiful story for Thanksgiving. You see, this little girl, though she was poor, she knew how to give thanks for what she had. And she knew something about giving to others. And so I pray that this Thanksgiving season will be marked not only by us giving thanks, but by us also giving and remembering the true meaning of the holy days is not just to focus on ourselves, but mainly to focus on Jesus and pointing others to his palace, to bring them to the meal, the king's meal, the Lord's Supper, to bring them to a table where they can know him and right relationship. During this season of Thanksgiving, we'd like to leave you with a song. And after you have listened to this song, and I hope you have reflected on the story and the other thoughts Grayson and I shared, we pray together today that Front Porch Talks, yes, this program has been a half hour of hope for your life. Be blessed.
The song that we have for you today is Brian Arner singing Give Me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And when I feel alone, oh, when I feel alone, when I feel alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And thy rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. And my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. So even when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have. Can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.